Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batzler. I'm joined by my good colleague Peter Berkowitz of the Hoover Institution, writing most recently his column at Real Clear Politics about populism. Populism on the right, populism on the left. You know it when you see it, but populism comes from the late 19th century celebration of candidates for the Democratic Party who spoke for the plain states initially, but then eventually became speakers for those who were not enfranchised or felt that they were not being well treated by the national government. Populism has come and gone since then, and 130 years since then. It's right now commonplace to talk about populism in the U.S. However, before I begin with Peter, I want to mention that Peter's article speaks also to the populism in Italy. Giorgia Meloni's party is populist right. Giorgia Meloni is very well received by Donald Trump, but she's also very well received throughout Europe as a strong voice for European Union. There's populism in Germany, represented by the Alternative for Deutschland, that recently has outpolled in a popularity test, outpolled the party that will take control of the Bundestag when the government is formed, that's the CDU. There's populism in France, Marine Le Pen, who's now targeted by what appears to be lawfare, prosecution, who is talked about as the next prime minister before she runs for the presidency, presuming she does, in the next cycle. There's populism in Britain. That would be Mr. Farage, who leads his own invented part of the Reform Party that is now looking to take over the conservatives. There's populism in Spain. That's the Vox Party. I could go on. None of these movements are dependent upon the U.S. populism, which is why it's helpful for Peter's article today, which I recommend, to remind all of us there's populism on the right and there's populism on the left. Peter, a very good evening to you. Both sides in the U.S. are reacting to something they regard as unacceptable and unsuccessful. What is it? How do they shape their opposites? Good evening to you.
Good evening, John. Yes, the populism, the national populism that you surveyed in Europe and in the United States, represented by President Trump and his coalition, it turns out they're all reacting to a common set of factors. I suppose the largest is the failure of post-World War II elites over the last 20 years to continue to deliver. Now, the elites certainly delivered in the wake of World War II. We and Europe, with America's help in reconstructing Europe, enjoyed peace, prosperity, a good amount of social stability for decades. But for at least, let's say, the last generation, at least 20 years, the governments have not, the elites have not been delivering on these essential promises. So you have this dissatisfaction, we should say, about populism. People get confused about this because they hear populism, they say popular, and they say, well, in democracies, always the majority is supposed to prevail. What distinguishes the populist majority is anger. In fact, seething anger at the elites. That's what we have now. That's what we have in Europe. And they're also united by a constellation of common causes. In the populists in the United States, as in Europe, are angry about immigration, angry about wokeness, angry about an economy that seems to be tilted on behalf of the elites, and they're seeking leaders who will make appropriate changes.
There are gifted observers at the New York Times editorial page, and you cite them generously about their analysis of what troubles the Democratic Party. we'll come home and be specific now. The Democratic Party is not now, as it's constituted, a populist party. It's led by its progressive wing. Bernie Sanders is on the road all the time. There are many others who listened carefully to him. The two candidates who were unsuccessful in 2024, at least one of which we can say is just profoundly puzzled by populism, that's the governor of Minnesota. So what is it that the New York Times think the Democrats do not understand about populism and misunderstand the results of 24?
Excuse me. Well, surprisingly, they get a lot right. They report that the voters noticed that party leaders, the press, the New York Times itself, lied to them about President Biden's declining acuity. They noticed that the Democrats were not speaking to them honestly about crime, about immigration, about inflation, and the Times rightly notices that what all the polls confirm is that the Democratic Party is bleeding African American voters, Hispanic voters, Asian voters, especially those who belong to the working class, because they believe that the Democratic Party is not serving the interests of the working class, and they believe that the Republican Party led by Donald Trump is. So all this is to the credit of the New York Times, because they are in touch with reality. But I think they don't begin to appreciate the depth and breadth of the divide that has opened up between them, between highly educated managerial elites and ordinary voters throughout the country who believe those elites don't speak their language and don't have their interests at heart.
I'm surprised in your quote that the New York Times used the word alienated.
Yes.
Voters. Now, that's a very strong word that doesn't promise an easy fix. Is there one that you can find? Are the Democrats, at least some of them, addressing this? Because the Republicans have had to address it over the years and continue to address it. There are plutocrats who are Republicans. Surprise, there's news, isn't there, Peter?
Yes. My sense of it is that the New York Times and the readers still have a long way to go to grapple with the changes. Because this, what was notable about this Times op-ed is how it was cutting against the grain among progressive intellectuals and commentators. There are plenty, starting with, for example, former vice presidential candidate Tim Walz, who blames the voters. Walz thinks the problem is that the Democratic Party has not embraced tightly enough diversity, equity, and inclusion. When the polls tell us that actually it's embrace of DEI that drove so many voters, so many crucial voters, away from the Democratic Party. But the question, though, will be, to what extent can the Democratic Party maintain its allegiance to its central progressivism and attract enough voters to win elections? That's going to be a hard question, given their stance on immigration, given their stance on social justice, given their stance on sustainability and more.
You point us to Henry Olson. Who is he and what has he seen?
Henry Olson is an uncommonly astute observer of American politics. He's a longtime senior fellow at the Ethics and Public Policy Center. He's a man who knows polling and demography inside and out, and he's also very comfortable in the realm of ideas. And that positions him very well to engage in comparative political analysis. His recent article focuses on Germany and the rise of national populism there. That is a group of working class people who are extremely dissatisfied with the elites. And a central dissatisfaction is they think the elites are more concerned about cosmopolitan values than the values of Germany itself. Or to put it in lingo that's familiar in the United States, these are voters in Germany who want the German government to put Germany first.
And do we take it right now that the populism is on the rise and that it's a cycle, and it's similar to what we went through with the leftist tint of the governments in South America over the last few years, that it's a pendulum.
So in the largest sense, if we take centuries, yes, it's a pendulum. However, Olson is adamant on this point. We're not living through a populist moment, he believes. We're living in a populist era, by which he means that he expects this working class tilt toward conservative parties to continue for many years, decades to come, which is going to require, he emphasizes, adjustments on both the traditional center-right. Think of those people in the American context as devoted followers of Ronald Reagan, and even more of an adjustment on the left, because the weight of sentiment is shifting toward voters who are very tired of managerial elites and associate them with all sorts of social, political, and cultural failures.
Peter Berkowitz, for the Hoover Institution, he writes his column at Real Clear Politics.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.